Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, what is it like to be a mother from Gaza?
I am in a desperate need to curse. I'm in a desperate need to say something really bad because the bad words are the only thing that's going to explain how I feel.
Mama.
It's Mother's Day in most countries in the Arab world. So we speak to a Palestinian mom of three who's had to flee her home. I'm Malika Bilal, and this is The Take.
I really want to curse so bad, but I feel like my mother is going to be there anytime. I feel like she's in my head right now telling me, no, I didn't raise you like this.
Iman Bashir is a teacher and a writer.
I'm a mother of three, two boys and a girl, Faisal, Jawad, and Rita.
And still, there's one voice, that of her own mother, Rehab, ringing in her head on this Mother's Day. But that's only when she has a chance to think. She recently left Gaza for Cairo with the kids.
We have been able to evacuate from Gaza to Egypt with the help of so many people who support the Palestinian case.
Her daughter, Rita, just recovered from cholera, and her husband is away getting his master's in the U.S. state of Wyoming. He wasn't able to take the family with him.
And my husband is still away in the U.S. So this means that I keep addressing myself as a single mother, but he's not going to appreciate this. Yes.
It was nearly a month ago when Iman, Rita, Faisal, and Jawad crossed into Egypt from Gaza. And they're safe, relatively safe. But now there are new problems.
Needing a daycare means that I need to leave them with a stranger.
Her concerns before she got to Egypt were unimaginable.
Because of the sounds, you start feeling that the Israeli tanks are near or down the street because you can hear the sound clearly.
And a heads up, you'll hear the kids. They were at home with her during our conversation. She hasn't been able to trust them with strangers yet. I want to start with saying happy Mother's Day, but it feels so minuscule compared to what you've been through and how you're mothering through all of this. Does it feel like Mother's Day to you?
I have been immersed in the news of the Shifa Hospital, and friends are reporting that the violence is even higher than it first started. And I haven't contacted my family in 4 days, which means that I don't even know if they are alive or not, because a situation can change in Gaza between 1 hour and the other. And I keep thinking of myself that I have done this for my kids. I have wanted to transfer them to a better place, to a safer place.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking that how lonely these kids are now. At least in Gaza, they played with the kids. They had communications with their grandparents. So I have been questioning myself if I did the right thing or not. Forgive me if I haven't think of myself as the mother of the year.
You are in Egypt and you recently got there after fleeing Gaza, but it sounds like your extended family is all still in Gaza. I know that decision must have been very difficult. It sounds like it's still difficult for you, even though you've already made it.
Yeah, at first I lived in my house and next to my father's family. And then when my family, my own family, who live near also in the north, decided that they are going to leave because the situation is getting worse. My father insisted that I come with them because of the kids. So we have moved to 9 houses because every time the Israeli army gets closer, we ran away to another house.
Wow.
And one of them was a class in a school. I lived with 56 persons in the same room. We were hanging blankets in the middle of the class so that we can at least change our clothes, at least have baths, because more than 10,000 people in one school are going to share three bathrooms. That's when the situation started to get really, really worse.
Iman says her kids started getting sick.
The kids started to have abdominal aches and vomiting, diarrhea. And then Jawed and Faisal got recovered, but Rita didn't. And nobody knew what is going on with her. They keep telling me that is she taking the medicine? I tell them, yeah, she's taking it. Mm-hmm. But nothing is like, she's not getting healthier. And then I told her father. That's when he actually tried to get us some serious help, right, to evacuate us from Gaza, because I told him that I don't think that this girl is going to make it. I think we're losing her. And this, because he has only seen her when she was 2 months old. That's when he left Gaza to study.
Oh my gosh. How old is Rita now?
Rita now is 2 years, 2 years old, okay, and 2 months.
Oh my goodness.
Faisal is 6 and Jawad is 4.
So how is Rita doing now?
She's amazing now. She's a charming little lady. Once you see her, you go directly to her. Like, once we were visiting this bazaar of Ramadan, and people were giving her stuff like pudding and popsicles. But then they didn't give the other boys, and they were looking at her like, why is she getting all the attention?
Iman herself hadn't been to Cairo before. Not really. She'd only been to the airport. And she says Egyptians have been very welcoming, bringing her and her family all kinds of treats.
Giving me this plate of bamia or mlouchia or atayef or any type of sweets.
Wow. So, Iman, I want to go back to Gaza, if we may, because you know that the UN is warning that a famine is imminent.
UN experts accused Israel of intentionally starving the Palestinian people in Gaza.
1 in 3 children under 2 are considered acutely malnourished, and women and children make up 2/3 of the dead in Gaza right now.
More children have been killed this month in Gaza than in the entire world in the last 4 years.
So when you were there, how did you manage to find what you needed, not just for yourself, but for your kids?
That's what I have been telling the people about, that I am actually an employee. So I have a salary. Even with this source of income, I used to have difficulties because what are you going to do with money if there is nothing to buy with it? Sometimes I used to call my husband telling him that we only have 1 can of beans for 11 members of the family. Sometimes, like, they could spend a whole 1 day, 2 days without eating anything just for my 3 kids to eat.
And even as we're talking, Iman's kids started to jump in.
I used to...
Is this Rita? It's hard to hear.
That's Jawed.
Assalamu alaikum, Jawed. You're doing this interview and we're so grateful, but how are you getting things done in the day?
Before the meeting, I bought them a huge amount of candies and snacks so that I can bribe them to stay quiet. But
mothers everywhere can relate.
What's your name, boy?
I'm happy.
Aww.
Okay. Yes, I'm with you.
So, Iman, you were living under shelling, bombings, unimaginable violence. How did you comfort your kids? What did you tell them when they would hear or see the walls shake?
Faisal is living this for the 3rd time now. So when he first lived it, I lied to him and I told him that these were fireworks, which he believed that in the first time. But then as he got older, he started to feel like I'm lying. No, that's not firework. Why I am not allowed to see it? Why I'm not allowed to open the window and look at it directly and maybe like enjoy it happily in the street? Why are some people dying of these fireworks? So as he started to question this, I felt I am obliged to tell him the truth. And he's an amazing kid. He's my little man who has been filling the gap of his of the absence of his father. He's boycotting, by the way. Whenever he sees any product, he keeps telling me, "Does this serve Israel? Is this Palestinian?" And it's amazing. But then again, it's I don't think these are the normal conversation that a mother and a son are supposed to have. I'm supposed to tell him, "What do you want for your birthday?" I'm supposed to ask him if he has done his homework or not. These are the normal conversation. But regarding Jawad, Jawad has been asking about his father a lot. He's really tired of the absence of his father.
Yeah. Are there any plans? Is it possible? How will you be reunited?
Well, actually, I have some really good news because I have been accepted in Wyoming, which is his university right now.
Congratulations. That is very good news.
But the problem is that his visa is going to end. But again, I'm trying to live one day by a time.
More after the break.
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
A quick reminder before we get back to our show. If you're listening to The Take on Google Podcasts, starting April 2nd, the app will no longer be available. So find us on YouTube Music, Spotify, CastBox, or any other podcast platform. So Iman, you've written about how you lived through multiple wars in your lifetime in Gaza, but as we've heard from people, this is unlike anything we've seen before. And so often the people who bear the brunt of the conditions of war are women.
Yeah.
What is the reality of being a woman in Gaza right now? What was your reality?
There's no way I could think of women in Gaza right now without thinking of my own mother and who's surviving the war right now, taking care of another and six members of her own and while smiling all the times. I think the situation in Gaza regarding women is filled with horror. When the pads got missing from the market, these were something normal for every woman to have, like something I don't need to worry about.
Women can't find sanitary products. Painkillers to ease their cramps aren't available. And something as simple as a hot drink is hard to come by.
And then we started facing another dilemma of missing the diapers of little babies. Before traveling to Egypt, I have bought a bag of diapers that actually cost $150. Even for me, it's a really high amount. Two-thirds of the Gaza Strip cannot afford this amount. And I remember that when I was walking, with holding it in the street, people were asking me, where did you get it from? Do you want to sell it? For women in specific, I think it was difficult because recalling these memories.
Yeah, I can imagine. Take your time.
It's really absurd because I keep thinking of the happy days when we were actually surviving, when we were trying to overcome the bad days with sarcasm and with trying to create our own happiness, because without this, you're not going to survive. One situation that's actually stuck in my mind and I'm trying this to recover from it is that when there were no diapers and I used a bed for my child, and it was embarrassing and it was really difficult for me because the bed is not going to do the work. That's not That's not the normal thing.
But for Iman, it was what she had to do, considering the problem she was facing. And at this point in our conversation, there was a new problem. While in the room, her daughter, Rita, stopped her recording. So from here on, you might notice Iman sounds a bit different. We're using the audio from our Zoom call recording. And these were the smaller problems.
I remember I was telling one friend of mine that if it was about dying with my children, if there was a chance of us, of the death of all of us, it would be okay for me. Honestly, it would be okay. Nobody is left to mourn the other. But I'm not going to be there when I see a missing leg of my child or a missing hand or the slow death. I pray that we'll mother go through this, whether she is the enemy or whether she is the mother of an enemy. No mother should go through this.
I'm sorry you're going through this, Iman. I'm sorry so many women in Gaza are going through this. You know, the essential essence of motherhood is that you are worrying about and taking care of your children and most likely everyone else around you and not having time to take care of yourself. How are you making time for that?
I'm not, because if I told you, I try to occupy myself a lot. I try to cook. I try to talk to the kids. I try to educate them, because I really don't want to leave myself to myself, because if I did this, I'm going to drown in darkness. And the kids are doing most of the job for me, not to think of myself. But I really don't want myself to be alone. I don't want to think of how I am doing right now.
After talking about motherhood and being a mother through what's happening in Gaza right now, Iman didn't want to end the conversation without remembering her own mother, who's still there.
I want to say that she is the mother of the year for me.
So much of what Iman has gone through, her mother has gone through too.
We were having a shortage of food. We were not having wood to cook food. We were getting shelling from everywhere, and we are having the possibility of being dead at any time now. But she would keep smiling quietly and telling you everything is going to be okay. And I managed to call her in Egypt. I miss her so much. And I told her that I thought that life is going to be easy on me now that I faced all the difficulty and I faced all of the agony in Gaza. And she told me, no, you're going to learn it the hard way. And I told her, didn't I live it? Didn't I survive the hard ways already? But she said, no, you have been through difficulties. This means that the life is going to be easy on you. It doesn't go this way.
Well, sending a happy Mother's Day to your mother as well as you. Happy Mother's Day, Iman. Thank you for this conversation.
And happy Mother's Day to you also.
Thank you.
To all the mothers in the world, and especially to mothers in Gaza.
Bye-bye, Rita.
Kila, I love you. Kila.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by Chloe K. Lee and Miranda Lin, with Zaina Bezer, Sonia Bagat, Varanisa Kampana, David Enders, Sayed Khalili, Ashish Malhotra, Nagin Oliayi, Khalid Sultan, Amy Walters, and me, Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexander Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Nay Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back.